If I can invite you to remain standing as we hear our scripture reading, which comes this morning from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, and then Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre, while he sat at the entrance of his tent in the day's heat. He looked up and suddenly saw three men standing near him. As soon as he saw them, he ran from his tent entrance to greet them and bowed deeply. He said, "Sirs, if you would be so kind, don't just pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought so you may wash your feet and refresh yourselves under the tree. Let me offer you a little bread so that you will feel stronger, and after that you may leave your servant and go on your way since you have visited your servant." They responded, "Fine, do just as you have said." So Abraham hurried to Sarah at his tent and said, "Hurry, knead three seahs of the finest flour and make some baked goods." Abraham ran to the cattle, took a healthy young calf, and gave it to a young servant who prepared it quickly. Then Abraham took butter, milk, and the calf that had been prepared, put the food in front of them, and stood under the tree near them as they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" He said, "Right here in the tent." Then one of the men said, "I will definitely return to you about this time next year. Then your wife, Sarah, will have a son." Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were both very old. Sarah was no longer menstruating, so Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, "I'm no longer able to have children, and my husband is old." The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Me give birth at my age?' Is anything too difficult for the Lord? When I return to you about this time next year, Sarah will have a son." Sarah lied and said, "I didn't laugh," because she was frightened. But he said, "No, you did laugh." Then Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. The Lord was attentive to Sarah, just as he had said, and the Lord carried out just what he had promised her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham when he was old, at the very time God had told him. Abraham named his son, the one Sarah bore him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, just as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Sarah said, "God has given me laughter. Everyone who hears about it will laugh with me." She said, "Who could have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse sons? But now I've given birth to a son when he was old." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If I can invite you to be seated, please. This morning we're continuing our summer sermon series as we're looking at superheroes from the Bible. And as we've looked at superheroes from the Bible, we've also taken the time to look at men and women from our own culture, fictional characters that we read about, that we see in comic books, that we play in video games, that we see in the movies. And so this week we're talking about Wonder Woman, which is a superhero. I think it's important, one, because I have a daughter who would not have allowed me to skip Wonder Woman during this sermon series, and we've been pretty concerned. I think it's also important, too, because Wonder Woman movie has been in the theaters this summer. Who's seen it? Is it good? See, a lot of people have seen it. I have not, okay? But, you know, as I was reading about the movie, I think it's amazing. You know, it's outperformed estimates, all estimates on how it would be received by the public. I was reading an article on Forbes, the Forbes website, and this film movie industry analyst named Scott Mendelson wrote that he estimates that Wonder Woman will pass the Spider-Man movie, which was huge, Captain America Civil War, Hunger Games, and Iron Man 3 in terms of box office receipts. That's from July 31st, and I think it hasn't even released in Japan yet. So it's going to be huge, or it is huge. It's, you know, just performing really well. And so as I've thought about this analysis of this movie, and I've been surprised, but yet I haven't been surprised. Because as I've read about this character, or this woman that we read about, that we see on the television, that we watch in movies, she has consistently been referred to as the most famous female heroine of all time. She's been on more magazine covers. She's been adorned on more t-shirts. She's been made into dolls, which we have a few of at home, and I was supposed to bring one today, and I'm sorry. Sorry. I was told I could borrow it. You know, Wonder Woman has been at the top of this genre in terms of female characters since her very first appearance in 1941. A quick overview of her story is this. She's a princess named Diana of the Amazons, an immortal group of women from Greek mythology, making Diana over 3,000 years old, according to whatever website you read in the storyline. Her mother is Hippolyta, a queen of the Amazons, and she has a contest to pick a heroine, an Amazon, to be sent to humanity as an emissary. And so her daughter enters this contest. It's a physical feat, and there's racing and combat and other things, and she enters anonymously because her mother has forbade her from entering, and she wins it. And so she's equipped for her mission by given certain items and abilities, such as the lasso of truth, the golden lasso she also always carries. She is given great strength and speed, the power of flight, as well as other equipment like her wristbands that are capable of deflecting bullets and other objects. And so she came to America as Diana Prince, where she worked then as Wonder Woman to confront evil. I think it's really interesting when we read her story, because her story also overlaps with Greek mythology and the different Greek myths that you might read in different literary books, and the different gods who came to earth in Greek stories to do harm, and making her a modern Greek day, a Greek heroine from even those long stories that we've read about and the Greeks have read about for generations. And so as part of her story, she's teamed up with Superman and Batman and others as part of the Justice League. And then as I've looked at her, she's fought almost everybody. But I think that's kind of what happens, right? If you've been around since 1941 in the comics, they just have to keep rewriting it and keep it interesting. So this morning I want us to think also about a biblical superhero. That's someone that usually we don't think of as much as a superhero. I think we look at her husband, and I think we read a story of someone who is faithful, of someone who lives in response to God when God comes to him and says, "Through you and your wife, I will make a great nation. You will be a blessing to all people. I will use you to make a covenant. I will," you know, and Abraham is that man, and he responds. And so we look to him, and we remember him. And the superhero today that I want to think about is his wife, Sarah. Because Sarah is probably more known for being Abraham's wife than she is for being someone that was used by God. And so in this morning's scripture reading, we read from Genesis 18, 1 through 15, where Abraham and Sarah are camping with their herds. You can see on the map, Mamre is to the left over here near the Dead Sea. And it's, you know, that's in the wilderness down towards, I mean, that's all wilderness right there. So they're living in a place where they're taking their animals from site to site, where they know different bodies or springs of water are to provide feed for their animals and forage for them to eat. And then they stay in these places, and then they travel to the next when the animals have eaten, you know, all the grass that's to be eaten. And then they move on so that the grass can regrow before they return. And so they're Bedouins. They travel through this region. They allow their animals to forage, and then they move on. And so Abraham and Sarah are at the oaks of Mamre, which I think one thing we have to recognize is if there are oak trees in this place, this is a place of significance, isn't it? Because oaks use a little bit of water. Well, actually, they use a lot of water. And so there's water there. And so Abraham is there, and they've set up their tents, and they, you know, have their flocks are grazing, and their cattle are there, and so due to, they're there. And due to their lifestyle, guests were very uncommon in those days, and it was a great honor. Because if you're wandering in the wilderness and people are trying to find you, they can't go to whatever your address is and find you, can they? Most of them, if they knew where you were 2 weeks before or a month before, if they were to go to that same spot, you wouldn't be there. And so we have to recognize, one, with this story, that guests are uncommon. And the scripture says when Abraham is sitting, three men all of a sudden appeared in the desert. He immediately jumps up. He hurries to welcome them by bowing down. He tells them to not just pass him by and greet him, but to sit, to let him provide water for them to wash their feet and prepare a meal for them. He runs to Sarah and tells her to prepare loaves, fresh loaves, for them to eat. He runs to his herd and picks a young cow to be slaughtered and takes it to a servant to be prepared. Abraham hurries. And as these men are eating, Abraham stands there and watches them. Abraham doesn't sit with them. Abraham honors them. And then as they're finishing the meal, here's where Sarah gets involved in the story. Is when God asked, because one of these men is God, is Sarah here? And Abraham says yes. And God says to Abraham that they would return within a year in order to see the child that was to be born of Sarah. Genesis 18:11 says this, when Sarah heard the man tell Abraham that she would have a child, she laughed to herself. The man, who the Bible now says was the Lord, asks, why did Sarah laugh at me and say, give me birth? What, me give birth? And then the man said, what I've said will happen. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? The men left. Genesis 21 says the Lord was attentive as he promised. A child was born to Sarah, and they gave birth to a son that they named Isaac, which means in Hebrew, he laughs. There's some irony there. Because of Sarah's joy and because of everyone else's joy in sharing with her, Sarah laughed when she found that God was going to use her as part of his plan. She laughed. I know at times when we read this story, I know that sometimes when we think of this story, we view Sarah's laughter in kind of a negative way. I know that people have questioned what Sarah's faith could be. When she heard the Lord tell Abraham how he was going to fulfill his covenant through them. I know at times she's been contrasted with Abraham, and his example of faith is the three men came, God and these two angels, and they came to the tents in the wilderness, and they came to tell them what was going to happen. And Abraham's response, well, we really don't know, because the focus then is that on Sarah's laughter. See, we don't know if Abraham's saying, really? Really? See, but I think what we can see from this story and from Sarah's story is that there's more than just laughter when Abraham was given hope and promise from the Lord. I think what we can see from Sarah is that God can and does use anyone. I love the response that God has where God says, is there not anything that's too difficult for the Lord? When she questions, when she laughs, maybe it was just one of those laughter like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, I don't know. Perhaps you've been in positions like that. But I think what he shows us and what this scripture shows us is that God's plans are above our own and beyond our own. And so perhaps, like Sarah, what we have to do sometimes is just to allow ourselves to be a part of the story in God's plan. In the book of Isaiah, it says in Isaiah 55:9 that God's ways are higher than our ways. God's ways are higher than our own. And so what Sarah's story, if we view it and think about it that way, is that Sarah shows us that when it comes to things that the world may consider impossible, God considers those things entirely possible, even normal, when it comes to being used by God and when it comes to answering God's call upon our lives. See, I think the amazing thing about Sarah's story is that in the Bible, There is never a time in someone's life where God does not use someone or cannot use someone to accomplish His plan. I mean, look at Paul in his letters. Paul's always writing about how under-equipped he is, about how ill-served he is, about how he doesn't have the gifts, but about how God still uses him, even in the way that he is. If you look in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, Hosea is told by God to go and retrieve his wife who's run off with another man and to stay faithful to her as evidence for the people to see that God can and does work in ways that people don't expect. See, and then we have Sarah. Someone who I'm sure questioned what her part of God's plan would be when God came to Abraham and said, you are the one. Through your descendants, I will build a great nation and I will bless the earth. See, we may feel that we are under-equipped to do what God is calling us to do. We may think that we don't have the gifts or the graces that we ourselves believe are needed to do the work that God has laid on our hearts or someone else has helped us to see. We may laugh. We may question. And both of those things are okay. As long as we don't shut ourselves to the possibility of what God can do, what God will do, what God is willing to do in using us. It's a possibility that may be unexplainable. It's a possibility that may be unanticipated. But it's a possibility that's made possible by God. By God who came into this world, not just in Abraham and visiting Abraham there at the Oaks of Mamre, but a God who came into this world as Jesus Christ, not just to show us how to live in a moral way that's better, but God who came and in His Son Jesus offered Himself so that we would receive forgiveness for the sins that we've already committed and for the sins that we will commit. For the life that we've chosen to live and the life that God is leading us on. Is not anything too difficult for God?